With Easter coming up this weekend, columnist Pat Morrison spent some time considering headgear, not just the Easter bonnet, but how we've forgotten what she describes as a most enticing and useful accessory. And though she writes about women who no longer remember how to wear a hat, it's just as much of an issue for men. Humphrey Bogart, Hedda Hopper, Scarlett O'Hara all had signature hats. How come we don't? Do you buy them? Do you wear them? Do you avoid them as outmoded frippery? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Pat Morrison writes for the Los Angeles Times and joins us today from member station KPCC in Pasadena, California. Thanks very much for coming in.
Outmoded frippery, Neil? Well, I'm crushed.
I know hats are awkward to pair with headphones, but I wonder, did you wear a hat to the studio today?
I did, and because I'm wearing black jeans, it's a simple black beret with a grosgrain bow.
And how many hats do you have?
Not enough. If I counted, I might be dismayed because there wouldn't be enough.
Why do you wear them, and why do you think most women have abandoned them?
I began wearing hats because my skin is very sensitive to the sun. So I began as a child. But I think a lot of the reasons that women abandon them, these were a uniform for years and years. A woman couldn't go out on a city street in a big city without a hat. And in the 60s, we gave up uniforms. We gave up suits and ties. We gave up the idea of uniformity in dress. And unfortunately, hats went with them. And it's time for a comeback.
You nailed the moment for a lot of women as the Kennedy administration with Jackie then Kennedy.
Jackie Kennedy and her pillbox hats. Her hair was really almost hat-defying. It took a lot to keep those hats on her head, I think. And once you had the 60s generation, the Love generation, Janis Joplin and long hair and the hippies and the surfer girls, there really wasn't a need, a place for a hat any longer.
Interestingly, too, John Kennedy was the first president to walk to his inauguration without a hat on. And that was sort of the end for men's hats, too.
He carried it in his hand rather than put the top hat on his head. And for men's hat makers, this was a disastrous moment, comparable to when Clark Gable took off his shirt and it happened one night and he wasn't wearing an undershirt and the sales of men's undershirts plunged.
There is so much about the hat. I mean, I'll give you useful, enticing sometimes.
It depends on the hat, and it depends on the hat wearer. And part of the problem is so many women say, I wish I could wear a hat. Any woman can wear a hat. It just depends on the type of hat. And we have lost all knowledge and familiarity with how to wear a hat. This is almost as big a disaster as if we forgot how to wear lipstick.
You described going into a department store, and I guess the department used to be called the millinery department?
We used to call it millinery. Some places you still find it, but it is one of those archaic words that goes along with the buggy whips. And I was watching these two young women. They were 20-somethings. They were trying on hats one after the other. They had a tattoo. They had pierced ears, multiple pierced ears, pierced eyebrow, pierced nose. And they were trying on these beautiful hats. And finally, one of them set the hat down, and she said, I couldn't wear one of these. Everybody would be looking at me. And I thought, honey, you've got holes that you've punched in your face and you're worried that somebody will look at you because you're wearing a hat? This was a very bad shift.
Also, you say women have forgotten how to wear them. Obviously, this comes with practice, but you have some practical tips.
Well, a hat is not like a bra. There is not just one way to wear it. You can move it around. You can tilt it forwards and backwards. Don't pay attention to the label. You have to put it on your head to suit you. And I think that a lot of times that people tend to look at the label and think, no, that's the way I have to wear it. That's not the case. You also need to try on a hat looking in a full-length mirror because that's the way people are going to look at you, is your whole body and the scale of the hat to the body. You have to be in charge of the hat. You can't let the hat wear you. And you can't slap it on the back of your head. If you're in a revival of Annie Get Your Gun and you're playing a drunken cowgirl, that's fine. Otherwise, it looks like you're going to milk goats. That's not the way hats are to be worn.
You can't wear them to milk goats?
Well, I suppose you could, depending on the goats.
Yeah, one of those nice straw hats, maybe.
That they will eat.
Yeah, we're talking with Pat Morrison. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Let's go to Richard, who's calling us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for this particular subject. I'm a male, obvious hat wearer and have for years, and I'm not talking baseball hats. And I wish they'd come back, if for no other reason than establishments like restaurants would have places to put your hat.
A hat rack.
When you go to eat, short of putting them on your head, which is crude.
So you don't, you eschew the baseball cap, but what sort of hat do you wear? Fedora?
Fedoras, straw, boaters, anything to keep the sun off my head and protect the bald spot on the top, but I also think they look pretty stylish.
Pretty stylish, and again, that bald spot, the useful aspect, again, Pat Morrison.
It's very useful. Hats will keep you warm in the winter and shade you in the summer, and Richard sounds like the kind of guy who'd be happy for the comeback of the hat check girl.
Richard?
There's an institution that we've lost.
Absolutely. And I think my wife would probably enjoy wearing hats, but again, they're hard to come by in a lot of places, and though the women don't have to take their hats off in establishments, the guys, you know, you end up putting them on the floor, and that's a sin when it comes to a good hat.
Yeah, it's also a temptation to be crushed.
And Neil, Richard has a point that we've forgotten hat etiquette, too. Men take their hats off inside. Women do not have to. Men take their hats off when the flag goes by or the anthem is played. They're supposed to take their hats off in elevators as well. It's very tricky. And
in elevators?
In elevators as well.
I knew about all those other places. I am of the baseball cap-wearing variety of hat wearer, and I wear them all the time. But I didn't know I had to take it off in an elevator.
Well, I suppose with a mere cap, the rules don't necessarily apply. I'm speaking of the real sorts of hat that Richard likes to wear.
Well, his hats, I can tell you from experience, too, don't go well with headphones. They work great with baseball caps. Thanks, Richard.
I do have headphones specifically designed to wear with large hats.
Let's go to Martha, and Martha's with us from Huachuca City in Arizona.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I have about 25 hats. And I don't go outside without wearing a hat. I have summer hats and winter hats, and where I live, I can wear a summer hat all year round if I want to.
And the sun is always strong there in Arizona.
Exactly.
And do you find other women wearing hats a lot, or is this, as we've been suggesting, a lost art?
Well, of course, there are a lot wearing red hats these days. And every now and then, someone says, oh, I should wear a hat because, you know, it protects the skin. I don't see a lot of hat wearing, but I have a couple of wallaby hats, and they're wonderful because they're adjustable. And so many hats are one size fits all, and they don't fit me.
Mm-hmm.
I have one pale beige felt sort of a pith helmet hat that I really like.
Well, Neil, I'm just not advocating hats for sun and for shade. I think that they have to be ornamental as well. And some of the places that you'll find the most phenomenal hats are in black churches, because the women there will dress to the nines for Sundays, and the hats are absolutely terrific. And I think there's a play called Crowns about women's hats in black churches.
Yes, we saw that in Tucson.
So, Martha, which of your hats will you be donning this Sunday?
Oh, probably my new wallaby.
It'll look great.
Yes.
You'll be in the rotogravure of the Huachuca City Times. Thanks very much for the call, Martha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Jerry Ann. Jerry Ann's with us from Milwaukee.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Jerry Ann.
Hi, Pat. This is Jerry Ann Hazlett.
Oh, Jerry Ann, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Jerry Ann is a refugee from Los Angeles.
And I must tell you, Pat, that I envy you. Every time I see you, you wear a beautiful chapeau of one brand or another, style or another. I have always envied women who could wear hats, but I cannot. Even in the frigid temperatures in Wisconsin, I cannot wear a hat.
Oh, Jerry Ann, I will consult with you one of these days if you wish. I think every woman can wear a certain kind of hat.
Well, here's the thing. They give me headaches or a stiff neck. It's just so foreign being on my head. And then comes the awful moment when I have to take it off, and it's much worse than pillow hair.
Jerry Ann, I've been to Wisconsin in the wintertime, and a little stiff neck is nothing compared to that wind through your ears.
Well, I just pull my hood up around my ears. I do not put it up over my head, even in sub-zero with the wind blowing.
I guess, Pat, the hood on a parka, that sure doesn't count as a hat.
It comes up under my ears. I tie it up under my ears.
I see.
But I don't put it up over my head.
But even if you did, it wouldn't count as a hat.
No. Uh-uh. Nope.
All right.
Nope. But thank you. I'm glad to be able to talk to you. And I do envy you and your wonderful hats.
Thank you, Jerry Ann.
Take care.
Thanks for the call. And let's go now to Amber. And Amber is calling us from Stockton in California.
Hello.
Hi, Amber.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think that hats these days have more gone towards a costume end of things. I work at the Dickens Fair in San Francisco for 6 weeks out of the year, and I work actually in the haberdashery, which is a hat shop for men and women, and I have to explain to people how to wear the hats, the different styles of hats, ones that are meant to be worn on the back of your head, because it's old Victorian England kind of style hats.
Mm-hmm.
But everything just seems to have gone to more costume, and you really don't see them in everyday life.
So Halloween is maybe a bigger holiday for hats than Easter, you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And are you amazed at that our entire culture has lost this appreciation for the hat?
I am amazed, because some hats have such a great history to them, and just explaining that history to people gets them kind of excited about hats as well. And you think, well, maybe outside of this particular fantasy fair that they're in for the weekend, that maybe outside they'll try on another hat and try to go for something a little more flamboyant than they're used to, I guess.
And Amber, I assume you wear a hat?
I do on occasion. I must say, I don't normally wear it in my everyday life, but I have been known to from time to time. I have really long hair, which makes hat wearing difficult at best, because my hair goes all the way down to past my waist. So it's you've either got to get it up into a nice bun that looks well with the hat, or you have to have a really casual hat that's going to work with the long hair.
We have an email from Teresa in Oklahoma City that addresses this point. I love wearing hats, but they always seem to mess up my hair. How do you handle that, Pat Morrison?
You just don't take it off until you get home. Then there's no such thing as hat hair, and you never have a bad hair day with a hat.
There's an option.
Yes, never.
And Neil,
there you go.
Amber's point is well taken. We are so unaccustomed to seeing women in hats that they all look like costume to us, when in fact that's not the case. It may suit the outfit perfectly, but our eyes are so unaccustomed to it that we immediately think, oh, you must work for MGM.
Right, or be part of the Red Hat Society.
the Red Hat Club. Yeah. Amber, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison about hats, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Jill on the air. Jill's calling us from San Francisco.
Hi, this is Jill.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, I come from a long line of hat-wearing women, and in terms of Easter, I mean, my biggest memories of Easter were always going to church where all the women were wearing hats, incredible hats. And, you know, there's this thing about how you're supposed to take your hat off if you go in the room. Is that just for men?
So we've been told this segment, yes.
Yeah, it's just for men. Women can, because in church, everyone can wear their hat.
You can get away with it any time on your head if you're a woman. If you're a gentleman, there are other rules that apply. And you're right about church. From the back of the pew, it looks like a garden on Easter Sunday.
That's right. And actually, for 20 years, I have been having hat parties. You know, sometimes I'll have it in the summer, and everyone who comes to the party has to wear a hat. And if they don't have one, then they have to wear one of mine.
Now, we've heard about those wild parties in San Francisco, yeah.
and then in the winter time, actually, I live in Mount Shasta, and I work in San Francisco a week of every month. And in Mount Shasta in the winter, you mean pretty much like your friend in Milwaukee, got to wear a hat. It's so cold.
Hmm. Thanks very much, Jill.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Here's an email from Kay in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Help, I'm a woman of a certain age who would give anything to be able to wear dramatic hats, but the circumference of my head is way too big to wear a hat off the rack. Are there sources for larger hats for women, or do I need to resort to a milliner?
You can go online and find larger hats, especially larger berets, but the beauty of felt hats is that you can stretch them. Hats used to be sized for women and for men. If you saw 23 in a woman's hat, it meant your head was 23 inches around, which is a pretty good size. You can go online and buy manual hat stretchers, but these work better for felt hats than for straw hats, obviously. But don't despair. There is a hat out there for you, and if not, the hat stretcher can help.
Let's go to Richard. Richard with us from Leavenworth in Kansas.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Richard. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yes, I have a fairly extensive hat collection. I've been wearing hats since I was pretty young. My grandfather gave me my first hat, and since then I've been wearing them.
What was that first hat?
It was a Big Apple.
a big apple? What kind of hat is that?
Well, you know, it lays kind of flat on your head. It has a short brim, and it has a little clip, a little snap in front. You can open, flip it up or snap it down.
Oh, like an Irish-style cap.
Yeah, sort of, yes. Very much like that.
Mm-hmm. And do you and what do you get stares? I mean, a lot of men don't wear hats.
It doesn't matter to me. You have to have hattitude, and I have hattitude. Because I have all different types of hats. I love hats.
Do you have a hattitude, do you think, Pat Morrison?
Oh, I think I definitely do, and it's pretty easy to cultivate. We are in a society where everybody wants to be a celebrity. Everybody wants to be regarded. Put a hat on your head, and it's a good start.
That's for sure.
Richard, thanks very much. You're picking out your hat for Sunday right now?
Oh, I always have a hat.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. And Pat Morrison, before we let you go, what is your most outrageous hat?
I have a hat from probably about 1910, which has feathers. It has gold lace on it. It's got all sorts of ornaments and trim. You had to be quite a woman to stand up to a hat like that about 100 years ago. It's a formidable hat. It takes three hat pins to anchor it down, and it takes a place deserving of it for me to go to wear it.
Thanks very much. Are we going to see it on Sunday?
I hope so. I'll be around.
Pat Morrison, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Neil.
Pat Morrison, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, who also hosts a daily radio show for member station KPCC, with us today from their studios in Pasadena, California. You can find her link to her article on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation, along with a helpful hat how-to video. And you can check out that blog link for my remembrance and a great story about science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke, who died earlier this week. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you on Monday. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.